Welcome to the Path to Profit podcast with your hosts, Dr. Manette Riordan and Brad Dobson. Hi, and welcome again to the Path to Profit podcast. I'm Brad Dobson with my wife, Dr. Manette Riordan.
You know your name today?
I think I remember it. And we're happy to be with Sarah Victory today. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. How are you doing, guys?
Great. Welcome.
We're
great.
We're happy to have you here with us today, Sarah. And I always love to share a little bit about how we met. So Sarah and I met at the Speaker Talent Search event in Los Angeles last May and have stayed connected since then. And I was just instantly impressed with your empathy, your connection, and also your knowledge of speaking. So we're going to be talking about visibility today, which I know is a really hot topic. And Sarah, and for those of you who are listening and might be new to the podcast, we love to start with a quote. And this one doesn't even have an author, but I found it this morning and it just felt appropriate for our conversation today and for where Brad and I have been in our business lately. And it says, if you get tired, learn to rest, not quit.
And
I really appreciated that one because I have been tired lately and really pushing hard to get some creative work done, and we're putting new Facebook funnels in place and all kinds of things that are requiring lots of time commitment. And so we've been spending a lot of time talking about productivity and time management and our own time management, and we have two busy teenagers. We're typical entrepreneurs, right? So I'm going to share a little bit about Sarah, and then we'll dive right in with some of our questions. So Sarah Victory, who has the coolest last name in the whole world, is the author of numerous books and audio programs, including two bestsellers, Double Your Business in 1 Year or Less, and Do Something Brave Every Day. I love that one. She's spoken to over 1,000 distinguished audiences across Europe, the United States, and South America. She's been on TV, radio, newspaper, coast to coast, including being featured in the New York Times. Her clients have included renowned companies like Avon, Ford, Redken, Farmers Insurance, Mary Kay, Oxford, and on and on and on, IBM, just to name a few. And what she loves to do is to mentor professional members as engaging speakers. She's a trusted coach and business consultant. She's worked with over 450 influential individual clients in the last 17 years. She really is an expert, and she's gotten her own clients appearances on Oprah, The Today Show, The Tonight Show, and CNN.
Wow.
So pretty impressive resume there, my friend. And so I'm super excited. So before we dive into some of these fun questions, tell us a little bit about what's new in your business. What are you excited about for 2017?
Gosh, a lot of exciting things. As usual, I'm traveling a lot speaking, which is always lovely. And I'm doing a great deal of coaching, which is also fabulous. And I love all of that. I'm also writing a new book, which is exciting. So that's going to be a big launch come September.
Nice. Nice. Oh. So is there a name for it yet, or a content or some secrets that you can share with us so that people can look forward to what's coming?
It's called How to Be Powerful in Your Leadership, Speaking, and Sales.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I don't know that people always connect those three things. I'll be curious to see. They're all important and they're often taught individually. So I love that you're bringing them all together in one piece.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear about this visibility stuff. Our clients, it's hard for them. Actually, it's been hard for me personally. I'm not an out in front of people kind of guy, or haven't been to date.
You are now.
Our clients are more, their tendency is to be more sit behind the computer or behind their, whatever their art pad of choice is, and not get out there in front of people. So what can you tell us about visibility and how important that is?
Well, I've always said that when your mission is stronger than your fear, you can do anything. So when your mission is stronger than your fear, you can do anything. But you have to have a mission in order to be able to have that be stronger than your fear. And so I think the first thing everybody needs to do is figure out what their mission is and why they're here. And when you find that part of you that is powerful and passionate and exciting, then you can launch into doing almost anything, including being more visible than you maybe have been comfortable with. I grew up really shy and got into the theater young, and that helped me a lot with, you know, being able to be in front of people. But I'm still a little bit shy. I still, if I'm in front of 7,000 people at a time, which as I have done, I'm still a little bit terrified, but I have a mission that's stronger than my fear. And that's what gets me through it every time.
I love that. So what is your mission?
I want to help millions of people grow. That's why I was put on the earth. Whether that's speaking to groups or writing books for them or coaching people who also help other people grow. And that gives me leverage, so I love that. Then between all of us, we're helping millions of people grow and find success and joy and happiness.
That's beautiful.
That's a powerful mission. And, yeah. And I can see how that would maybe get you past being a little tongue-tied or tripping up the stairs to the stage.
Right. I've done that.
Rely on.
You've done that.
I have tripped on the way up the stairs and gotten tongue-tied many times.
Those high heels, man, they get you every time.
Oh, I know. I'm telling you, I always have to wear those. The heels look good, but they are tough to climb stairs with.
I love that. So you have a concept in your work that you call Think Magic.
Yes.
So what is Think Magic and why does it matter?
Think Magic is that I think all of us need to hang on to a little bit of magical thinking. And if you think magic, you can accomplish a lot. And what I mean by that is when you ask little kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? They say, I want to be an astronaut, a firefighter, ballerina, president. And they don't see why they can't be all of those things and do all of that. And they don't understand why not? Around 7 or 8, the brain changes a little bit and we start to become more realistic about things. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying we want to throw out thinking about remembering we have a mortgage or children. These would not be good. But if you can have some magical thinking left, then you can start to make strides in your life. What that means is just asking yourself, if we had a magic wand or fairy dust and we could sprinkle it over your head, what would you really want? If there were no rules, nothing could get in your way, if you knew you couldn't fail, what would you really want to do? If you still believed in magic, what would you do? And that question alone has helped a lot of people that I've worked with one-on-one and that I've spoken to as a group figure out what that mission is or what it is that they really want that's worth fighting for.
Yeah,
that's what magical thinking is.
And so it's funny because we were just in a workshop last week where we were talking a lot about, vision, mission, and values and really building those platforms for our business. And one of the things that I appreciate about everything you just said is how your concept of Think Magic really flows from your mission beautifully.
It does. It does indeed. Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. So in order to really be a star in your own life, to be, you know, that magician or that wizard, what do you have to do?
Well, the things that you need to do in order to be able to be a star in your own life are figure out how visible you really want to be and then go for it. So let's say you want to be a speaker, an author, you want to be on TV, radio, have your own podcast. You have to ask yourself, what is it that I really want to do? And you have to ask yourself, in 5 years, if we could do magic, back to the magical thinking, where would I want to be and what exactly would I want my day, my life, my world to look like? And then start working toward it.
Yeah, I love that. And so when you're working with your clients, that magical thinking is so important, or then you also helping them with a step-by-step plan, because sometimes, especially with creatives we work with, can be really easy to see that beautiful 5-year vision and then get really frustrated or feel really stuck because it feels so far away.
Feels so far.
Start.
Yeah, I think what you have to do several things. One is you have to think, where do I want to be in 5 years? Where do I want to be in 3 years? And where do I want to be in a year? Mm-hmm. And then you start working toward that 1 year goal, which leading to you to three, leading you to five. I find that people are either very good at thinking of 5 years or 10 years out and big picture and not so good at the 1 year and 3 year, or the other way around. They can think of the next 6 months or 3 months or even maybe a year. They really have a hard time thinking more far out than that. But if you ask yourself, where do I want to be in 5 years, and work backwards, not 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, but 5 years, then 3 years, then 1 year, you get that big picture of really where you want to be that may be a little overwhelming. and then you move it back to 3, and then you move it back to 1, and then you find what are the steps to get you to that 1 year? What are the things that you really have to do to make that happen? I know you help people with that all the time.
Yeah, I do. And I just love that you do it in a way that leads them towards that visibility piece, right? And towards mm-hmm. their speaking dreams. It's really, mm-hmm. sure, you end up helping them with all parts of their business, but they come to you because they have speaking dreams, right? They want to get on more stages or be paid keynote speakers or create more visibility in order to get more clients, a lot of different goals. But I think
the write a book
is the same.
Yeah, I tend to work with people who are speakers, authors, celebrities, sports stars, CEOs, people who do want to speak as part of their business or want to speak professionally or want to write a book. And those are people that tend to find me. And it's usually about being a lot more visible than they were before. And I do see people that have a lot of fear about that, fear of success and fear of failure. Fear of failure made sense to me. Fear of success is something that I found kind of surprising, but it really isn't if you think about it, because fear of success is when you're afraid that things are going to change for the worse when you get what you want.
Yeah.
And that is a real fear. Maybe what if my friends think I'm getting to be too successful and they don't want to be friends anymore? What if my sister's jealous like she was when we were kids? Not that I have one sister, but those kinds of things are important. So you have to ask yourself, am I at all afraid of failure? And am I at all afraid of success? And if so, what can I do to work around those things in order to be able to get what I really want?
We've seen clients who are also, and maybe me as well, I don't know, also have a fear of sharing who they are deeply, mm-hmm. a fear of being authentic
or too vulnerable
mm-hmm.
right?
Yet that's what we want to encourage, because that allows people to connect with them that much more deeply. Do you run into that often?
I do, because a lot of times people have to tell their story in their speaking or in their book or on their podcast, or they have to share their story and what they're about. And if you stop and craft it a little bit so that you're comfortable telling it, that makes a big difference. Because you don't want to share everything in the whole world, what you had for breakfast and that you walked the dog and then the dog wasn't feeling well. And then after that, you don't want to share everything. Some things are just boring. But you do want to figure out what are the things that you can share that are part of the human condition that we all can relate to. What are the things that are universal that you go through, that other people go through, that can bond you as human beings and that lift the conversation to its highest level?
I love that sense of, finding those universal themes.
Yeah. Finding those universal themes that people can relate to.
Yeah.
And some of it is just having to go for it and having to believe that who you are matters and that other people will absolutely love what it is that you have to say and everything about you.
Do you find that typically you're coaching people on creating their signature story and taking, where their talk takes people through that journey, that typical thing, or are there other approaches that people are using when they want to become speakers?
Well, some people want to do what I call a leader's legacy story, which is the journey of how they've gotten to where they are now. And that may be a 5-minute journey, or that may be the whole entire speech. I've got one client who escaped from a Mormon polygamist place in Mexico and how she escaped. And I mean, the whole hour of her speaking is this unbelievable story that was turned into a New York Times bestselling book, The Sound of Gravel. Wow. And she's, for her to tell her story is very challenging, but she's willing to do it. And that takes a whole entire hour. Some people have just maybe a 5-minute leader's legacy story that they want to tell about how they became successful, perhaps in business, and how that led them to their purpose or their mission of what they do now. So you can tell very little about yourself. You can tell a lot about yourself. You can do 5 minutes in the beginning and a few minutes at the end. You can tell one great story that lasts the whole hour. Whatever you do, you have to share yourself in some way, Otherwise, people don't feel related to you.
Your story that you share with people.
Well, one of the things that I've shared with people about me is when I was a little kid, I actually drowned. And I found myself underwater and kind of passed out. And the next thing I know, I'm going through this classic experience of going through a bright light and feeling very warm and all of a sudden being on the other side of something, not really knowing what the heck that was, and being surrounded by these lovely beings in a wonderful place I didn't want to leave, and having them say, do you really want to stay here or do you really want to go back there? And I don't know if this was lack of oxygen to my brain or if this was Sarah's very imaginative or what, but for me it was one of those really impactful things that changed my life even as a little tiny child. And so I looked at them and I said, if you let me go back, I promise you I'll help millions of people grow. I don't know how, but I'm going to help millions of people grow. And the next thing I know, I feel like I'm flying back through this bright light, and all of a sudden I'm up on the ceiling looking down, and I see there's a doctor standing over me with his hand on my wrist saying, she's not going to make it. And I was saying, no, I'm up here. You've got to let me in. I have to help millions of people grow. I don't know how, but I have to help millions of people grow. And the next thing I know, I was back feeling like I was back in my body, and everybody was looking very relieved. And I never forgot it. And it's always been a part of me. Sometimes I think I should have picked an easier goal, like help hundreds of people, thousands of people. I've never done that, but millions is a little bit tougher. And so that for me was, I think consciously or unconsciously, we all make a promise of what we're here for, whether that's to look into the eyes of our children every day and be there for them, or if that's to help millions of people grow, or to support something or someone. We all make some kind of promise inside, and I think that we have to make that conscious in order to be able to be brave and successful and happy.
I love that. What a great story.
That's really neat. I can see how that would shape your life quite a bit.
Yeah, it has.
I love this. There's so much juicy stuff here, Sarah. Thank you.
So I think one of the questions that that we have listed is, and you just touched on it, you talk a lot about doing something brave every day. Where does that come from?
Oh, that's another experience that I had. I was living in California, in Southern California, and I went to a party, and I'm wearing the off-the-shoulder dress, and I'm feeling fabulous, and I get in my car, and I'm driving along Pacific Coast Highway, which if you've ever done that, it's very beautiful. I can smell the ocean and the mist. It's fabulous. And I drive up into my driveway, and I stop, and all of a sudden, as I turn the key up to turn the car off, I look over into the bushes and I see this guy coming out of the bushes, and he's got his hand in his pocket like he's got a gun in there. And he comes up to me and he says, excuse me, ma'am, but I need you to take me to Anaheim. And my first thought was not, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. My first thought was, he called me ma'am. How the heck? I'm not a ma'am. I'm too young to be a ma'am. My mom can be. I'm not a ma'am. Anyway, I thought now was not the time to discuss it with him. So by the time I had that thought run through my head, he had come around the car and opened the door and was sitting next to me in the car. I started driving with my heart pounding out of my chest. And as I'm driving along, I look over out of the corner of my eye and I see this guy's got his hands outside of his pockets. There's no gun. I look over at him, he's sobbing uncontrollably, and he's about 15 years old. And I looked at him and I said, okay, you have to tell me what's really going on here. And he said, I'm such a messed up person. I can't do anything right. I can't even hold you upright. I was like, oh, no, I was really scared. You did a great job. I was terrified. And it got him to smile a little bit. And I said, all right, what's really happening? He told me this story about how he had been in and out of foster care, and he'd finally gotten to go home. That day, he walks into the house, and there's a meth lab in the middle of the living room. There's an FBI raid. All these people come marching in. He slips out the back window and runs for it as his parents are being taken away. And he just ran and ran and ran and ran until he saw me and my car. And he said he would have taken the car to drive it, but he didn't know how to drive yet. And he only knew these people who lived in Anaheim who might be able to take him in. And I said, okay, I'll drive you to Anaheim. And so then I said, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle this? I mean, clearly your parents are not going to be much help at all. And so all of a sudden I turn into, you know, Tony Robbins and Jim Rohn and, you know, Patricia Fripp and Janet Lapp all wrapped into one. And I'm saying, if we could do magic and, you know, 5 years from now, what would your life be like? And, you know, I'm turning into Sarah motivational. Once a motivational speaker, always a motivational speaker. And he looked over at me and he said, there's only one thing I would do. And he said, I would fix old motorcycles and old cars and I'd make them cherry, which means good. And I said, okay, well, how would you go about doing that? He said, there's this one social worker really believes in me. He said, I'd have to get special housing. I'd have to get special school. I'd have to get all this special stuff. And I said, well, what would be the first thing you'd have to do? The very first thing. He said, I'd have to call this gal on Monday. I said, will you call her on Monday? And he said, I'll call her on Monday. So now he's all excited. I'm all excited. And we arrive in Anaheim in this terrible neighborhood. And he says, well, wait, I'm going to watch while you drive away because this isn't a very good neighborhood. And I said, well, no, I'm going to wait and watch you walk up there because this isn't a very good. Now we've bonded. And meanwhile, he takes my card off of the dash and sticks it in his pocket. I didn't say anything. And he said, ma'am, I'm 15 years old and you're the first person who's ever believed in me. And I tried to take your car. Yeah. And I said, I do believe in you. So he gets out and he walks away. Meanwhile, 2 weeks later, I'm on the phone walking through an airport talking to Pamela, my fabulous assistant, and she says, this guy called, and he's really young. I said, what? She said, this guy called. He sounds really young. What'd he say? She said, well, he said he wanted to tell you that he's got a special school, special housing. He's working on old motorcycles and cars and making them, and I'm quoting, cherry. Do you know what that means? I said, I do. And he said, and he's also figured out the secret of life. I said, well, what does he say the secret of life is? And he said that the secret of life is to just simply do something brave every day.
Wow.
Just do something brave every day. The guy could do my programs for me from now on. I mean, I've remembered it always, and it's become part of how I live my life.
That's really cool.
Changed me forever.
Need to sell that one, sell the TV rights to that one.
Never thought of that.
That's really cool. So now I'm intrigued. Have you ever been able to contact him again or see where he is?
I have this theory that he didn't leave any information whatsoever. And I have this theory that if I share what happened enough times, one day he's going to come up to me in a speech and say, by the way, hi, it's me. Or I'll hear from him in some way, but I haven't heard from him since. It was what led me and my husband to start fostering kids. And we fostered 3 different boys over a period of time. So he wasn't one of them because it sounds like he was doing okay and we didn't know how to reach him. But that was what led to that in my life.
That's fantastic.
So he really changed my life forever.
Yeah.
Do something brave every day.
Do something brave every day. He was brilliant.
How much you love your boys. You have 2, 3?
3.
3.
Yeah, we had 3 over time.
Yep. And that, or you're still a part of all of their lives, right?
Yes, definitely. We love them more than anything. That's yeah. So cool. When we were in Southern California, I saw Cody, one of them,
which was
the best. Yeah.
Super fun. I love that. So one of the other concepts I know that you love to talk about is the Einstein factor. So I'm curious what it is and how does that connect to visibility?
Well, the Einstein factor is one of those counterintuitive things. The Einstein factor is this. It's the idea that the more visible you become, the busier you become, the more absolute quiet time you need. Mm. And that is really counterintuitive because you think the harder I work, the more I do, the more I'm out there, the better things will be. It's not really that way. And the reason I call it the Einstein factor is because I had this friend when I was in New York City, he lived down the hall from me. It's an older guy. And he said that he had gone to school at Princeton when Einstein was there. And he said that he had gone to him and asked if he could follow him around and find out how he was, what his productivity was like. And so he said he followed him around. And after a while, he started to wonder, does this guy ever work? Because after 3 days, he'd had soup with his wife, he'd hung out on the quad, he'd watched the flowers grow, he hadn't done anything as far as he could tell. And he finally turned to him and said, do you ever work? Do they pay you for this? And Einstein apparently said something along the lines of, I get paid for the quality of my thoughts. And I will do anything to ruthlessly protect the quality of my thoughts. And if I have to take a month to just think, to get a great thought, it's worth it. And that's when I started to realize that Einstein time is very important for all of us, and that most of us get almost none, if not zero, Einstein time. And that can be meditation, that can be just sitting quietly and thinking, that can be taking some notes on where you want to see your life go. One, I would often mention a meditation program that I really love called Creative Visualization by Shakti Gawain. If you probably already know who she is.
Yeah.
Classic. So if you haven't heard that one, there's a 60-minute creative visualization meditations that you can get just from audible.com. But it's two 30-minute programs. So if you want to start visualizing where you want to be and getting some Einstein time, that's a great place to start.
Yeah, it's so true. I'm just writing that down. So we listened to a book we've been having. This is part of this same conversation we've been having. I love that our conversations are very similar, by Cal Newport, called Deep Work.
Oh,
it's a great one. And it's that similar concept, a lot around mastery, but more just about around that, what you described as time to just think. Right. That if you think about some of the great writers, some of the great artists, great masterpieces, they disappear basically. Right. They look like they're doing nothing, and yet they're doing everything from that perspective of deep work. And so I highly recommend that one.
Yeah. Focused work. Where all those distractions are removed, and they're just solely focused on one thing. I'm pretty sure Einstein probably did the same thing, but he couldn't do that unless he took that time to decompress, like you said, and protect his thoughts.
Yeah, totally. And so I love that. And so I had mentioned that we were in this training last week with the founders of a company called Entreport that provides email and customer relationship management services. And the thing that they do in their company is that they themselves and every employee in the company gets 3 hours a day to do fun, creative project work. That's outside of regular job duty, business maintenance time to move things forward. So, and they were encouraging all of us who were in the workshop to do that, to take this time to do that. And pretty impactful as we sit here looking at our crazy entrepreneurial schedules and busy parenting.
Right.
Wondering how can we make that happen to carve 3 hours out of our time? And then you add, but I need to be visible, but I need to be out there, and I need to. So I love that Einstein factor really sits in that the more visible that you are, the more quiet.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. It really is.
So one last question for you before we wrap up today. What is one something that people can do to be more visible in their lives?
I usually tell people to choose one thing that is going to make them massively more visible, and that they're a little bit terrified to do, that they have to be brave to do it. And that may be, I'm going to take on writing a book, or I'm going to take on writing a blog, or I'm going to take on doing a podcast, or I'm going to take on doing a TV or radio show, or I'm going to take on being a speaker. But find one thing that you can do that will really, really expand your visibility and go for it 100%.
I love that. That's such a great tip. Choose one thing to be massively more visible and go for it 100%. That's such a great insight.
Rather than trying to do a whole bunch of things a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Which is what most people do when it comes to marketing strategies, right? It's flinging spaghetti at the wall, trying all of them a little bit instead of really wholeheartedly going for it, which to me feeds beautifully to your mission, feeds beautifully to the do one brave thing every day. As soon as you said that, I'm like, oh, it's for me right now, it's Facebook Live, right? I know Facebook Live and just video in general, actually, much more strategically and playfully as well. And so I'll take that on to go 100% your video strategy for the next little while. So don't need another book right now, although that's coming too. Sarah,
you've already done a great job with it
today. What are you reading right now? Any fun books that you're reading that you would recommend for others?
Well, The Sound of Gravel, which is this wonderful client of mine, is one of the greatest books I've just ever read. If you have a chance to read that, I think it's magnificent. And my husband and I read murder mysteries to each other at night before we go to bed.
So awesome.
And we have for 17 years. So I highly recommend reading a few minutes out loud to each other because I think it's very bonding. That's one thing I do.
Audiobooks. We love to listen to audiobooks.
And audiobooks, especially on long car trips. Yeah.
There's something magical about the reading part. So I so appreciate that. Sarah, how can people find out more about you, connect with you?
I'm pretty easy to reach. You can reach me at sarah@thevictorycompany, all spelled out, .com. Or I'm at Sarah Victory on Twitter and Sarah Victory on Facebook.
Awesome. I love it. So easy to connect. And so that's a great key for people to remember when it comes to creating visibility is to make it easy for people to find you and being consistent in the same with your name. So I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time. I know how busy you are with all your travel and your speaking and your commitments and your clients. So extra, extra grateful that you spent this time with us today to share with the world why they need more visibility. And so some great, great tips that I'm taking away.
Thanks, Sarah. And good luck helping millions of people grow.
You probably already have, right? If you did,
I'm getting closer. I'm getting there.
So we're wrapping it up with the Path to Profit podcast, where we help creative entrepreneurs to focus on money, marketing, and mindset so they can get on the path to profit and stay there. We have a live event coming up at the end of March in Los Angeles. You can find out more at pathtoprofitacademy.com/summit. We'd love to meet you in person. And if not in person, then go share some love on iTunes or on our show notes page. We'll put all of Sarah's contact information in the show notes, and we'll see you all on the next podcast. Make it an amazing day.
Bye, folks.
Thanks for listening.